Don't leave that last one.
Oh.
That's all right.
The bewitching hour, right? Timekeeper. All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Recreation Committee, Monday, July 6th, 8:15 a.m. Item number one is the call to the order, which we've just done. Item number two, the approval of the minutes from the June 1st, 2020 meeting.
So moved.
Second.
All right, any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it. Item number three is a public comments period. If anybody has anything they'd like to say, you're welcome to come up to the podium and give us 2 minutes. Anybody? All right, seeing none, we'll move on to item number four. That's the review of the Recreation Department's baseball/softball field needs assessment and discussion regarding future baseball/softball facilities. And Steve, I will defer to you. Eric, whichever one wants to jump in. Steve, okay.
Good morning, Joe Santos, council member, committee members. Appreciate y'all being here this morning, and want to get a chance to go over the needs assessment for our baseball and softball needs. As we are looking to build new facilities, we've been asked to kind of reevaluate what our needs are in that area as it relates to our diamond facilities. The assessment includes our participation trends in baseball and softball, our baseball inventory, our softball inventory of fields, that's the inventory of fields that we currently have, and our facility needs. As you can see here, the participation trends that we have. Up on the top there is our softball, that's our men's, women's, and co-ed leagues. All three of those are combined in there. Holding fairly steady with a drop that occurred in 2016 due to a loss of the over 30 league on Thursday evenings. Since then, it has rebounded and stayed fairly steady. A slight trend upward in baseball. In our youth softball, is fairly steady as well. And in our adult baseball, it's been very, very steady. Kind of a smaller league, and throughout the years, it's been kind of consistent there. Our baseball field inventory, you can see we have a lot of fields for our younger age groups, our 12 and under age groups. We have Duffy 2 and 3. We have our Garch 1, 2, and 3 fields. At Park West, we actually have 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 in those age groups. Of course, the 5 through 8 is T-ball only. Those are the four fields that make up the multi-purpose field over there. Reed and Spikes over in the Old Village is a T-ball only that we use them for. And in that same age group, we use the Whipple field behind the tennis center. That field is not in the best condition. It's an old field. It's an odd shape, but it's one of our larger fields that we can use for the 12-year-olds over there, but for practices only. Our 13 and 14-year-old age group is the area where we have the most need, probably more than anywhere. There's only one field, Duffy 1, that we use for games for that age group. We also do use the Whipple field over there for practices for that age group. It's still a little small for them, but we're able to hold practices for that age group over there. So there is only one field in that age group for games. Our larger fields, that is for our middle school, and there's a little could be seen as a little confusion there. 13 and 14, those are middle schoolers, but that's middle school rec. That's 13 and 14 rec level. The middle school teams that we kind of set up where they represent their schools. It's a little higher level baseball. That middle school group, the 15 to 18 year old age group. And our adult baseball have two fields. There's the Park West 1, it's a full-size baseball field at Park West, and Wando South, directly across from the future Lucy Beckham High School.
Gary.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Jake. Steve, so yes. 12 and under, those are the 60-foot bases, is that right?
I always forget on baselines. Can I get a correction on that on baselines, Ryan?
60 and 70, depending on the league and age.
And of course, T-ball may be smaller than that.
And obviously, the full size are the 90-foot. What size are the 13, 14 fields?
The field is approximately 300 foot, 310 foot is what would be ideal for that age group.
What are the currently, baselines on 13, 14?
I'm sorry?
What are the baselines on 13, 14?
Baselines on 13, 14, Ryan?
80
foot.
Okay.
Our softball field inventory, we have 4 adult softball fields. Those are the ones that we said are used for our men's leagues, our women's leagues, and our co-ed leagues. There's Jimmy Signius 1, 2, 3, and 4, and as well, and Park West number 2 as well, that are used for those leagues. We do not have a facility for youth softball. There are no youth softball fields. That's approximately the 200-foot, could be slightly more than that, but around 200-foot outfield fence for youth softball leagues. Our facility needs, based on the needs assessment that we, and then the inventory that we have, the participation we have, our number one need that I would say that we have is our, these are also in prioritization order. Our number one need would be a youth softball field. We have a youth softball program. It's been steady. It's been consistent. But it's kind of one of those things where you don't have a facility for them to play on. It's hard to really see how that program could expand. And certainly, softball is a very, very popular activity, and we think that it would do very well. So to have a youth softball field, approximately 200-foot outfield fence, you know, right, currently with no appropriate size fields for this category, youth are currently required to play on adult size fields, which really hinders their ability. You don't get to hit the home run. You don't get to knock it over the fence. It takes away some of the enjoyment of the activity for that age group. Our second priority would be a 300 to 310 foot baseball field for the 13 and 14 year old age group for two reasons. One, we only have one currently in our inventory what was the location on that? That was the one at Duffy. No, the one at Duffy right now. But the second one, to have a second field would be good, especially when we are looking at demolishing the field behind Whipple for future tennis center expansion. So to have a second field in that age group, and also even have a second field in that age group where you can play games on it. Currently, only one field at Duffy is the only field where we can play games for that age group. Our third priority is kind of a smaller want on that, and that is a bullpen on the Park West field number 1. That'll create a fully functioning adult-sized baseball field at Park West. I mean, we have a full-size baseball field. We can use it over there, but to add a bullpen to that would be very advantageous to be able to have your warm-up area and prepare our pitchers in the bullpen for that field on field 1, where we could use the 2 fields that we would give us 2 fields in, one on each side of town, one at Wando South and at Park West. And the fourth priority would be an additional adult softball field on the north side of town. Currently, any tournaments that we have going on are all played at the Jimmy Signius fields. If you can use a field out at Park West right now, but if you're in tournament play and you have one game that's played out there and then the winner has to play somewhere else and get to the other side of town, so having a second field on the north side of town would be helpful. And that could possibly be arranged with the softball field at Carolina Park or another facility on the north side of town where we would be able to facilitate that.
Well, Steve, we are going back to the original plan for Carolina Park, which would be 2 softball fields, right?
Correct. The current plan on Carolina Park after our last Recreation Committee meeting was to explore doing a full-size baseball field, a full-size high school-sized baseball field, and eliminating one of the softball fields, the smaller softball fields, the 200-foot softball fields. So you would have one full-size baseball field.
For some reason, we went back to the original plan. I don't know why I thought that. So that would give us one field out there, one softball field?
Yes, sir. After what had moving past the turf field, the stadium, we took it back to committee for discussion as to whether to return to the original plan, which was the 2 youth softball fields and the 300-foot medium-sized one, or go with a larger footprint and 1 softball field if we could fit it. The idea being that we were trying to accommodate possibly the district at Whipple Road. Which is, without that situation being put on us with Lucy Beckham, the original plan for Carolina Park would work just fine.
That's correct.
Yeah. You know, I have not heard back yet from the folks over at Snowden about that field. I called, left a message, and they've not returned my call. That's a huge field out there. I know me and Jody walked that field, and that field would be a great field to be able to use. They fussed at us for not talking to them here, and I'm calling them, and I can't get them to call me back. So I don't know. Anyhow, Jim?
Do we have any further movement with Lucy Beckham as far as a trade or where the district is going to, I know there was talk of the district finding another place in Mount Pleasant to provide us with a field that would replace the field we would then give them. Has there been any movement on that?
Well, Steve and I have been working together with them along with Chairman Santos. I think everyone would agree in a perfect world that baseball field would belong to Lucy Beckham. It makes perfect sense. There are some facility upgrades needed on that field too. It's not an ideal field. So if they were to take that over, that would be great. Trouble is, we'd have to replace a full-size adult baseball field, and that has been the problem. They have been looking, they've been trying, we've given them ideas, they've given us ideas. There just isn't available land to replace that full-size baseball field.
But if there was available land, the district would be paying for that land and paying for the building of that baseball field on our behalf.
That's correct.
Yeah. Yes, or they might already have land that they could build it on. We talked about Whitesides, expanding Whitesides to use it as a field. They were very interested in doing that. We talked about the Snowden field, which is a very large field, and they were very agreeable to pay for that, to get that one fixed. I just can't get them to call me back. So, but I mean, if that one's a huge field that I think would be great for the older kids to be able to play on. I'm not sure somebody who's good with baseball needs to go out there and really measure that to make sure. But I think when me and Jody looked at that field, it clearly looked like a great field to be able to use for our older folks, older kids. But anyhow, so yes, we are talking with them, and they've been. Mr. Barowie was very, very nice speaking with us about it, and they're willing to work with us on it. Absolutely, we just got to find that solution, and then I think we can move on.
And what's brought us here today, why this issue is even on the agenda, is because Steve, and along with support from staff, looked at prior years, our experience with softball and with baseball, and assuming that future trends are going to be the same, this is what's needed. And it comes into play with this situation with the school district. Based on the information you have in front of you, if there was no issue with the field at Beckham, I assume that building the softball fields and the medium-sized field, which was the original plan at Carolina Park, would satisfy the needs of the recreation department from a softball and baseball perspective for the foreseeable future.
That's correct.
Is that correct?
That's correct. Right.
It's the district piece at Beckham that is throwing this into...
Right. And also, just so you know, they do have a brand new softball field right next to James B. Edwards School that we're hoping they'll allow us to maybe use that too. Go ahead.
So just so that I understand as I move forward in reaching out to my contacts in the community about this, if we can find a piece of land that the school district can build a ball field on for us, we can give them Wando South, and then we can go back to the original Carolina Park, two softball fields and one youth field.
Yes. Even if that field was given up, the full-size softball field, and Steve can answer this better than I can, it appears that still the softball field and medium-sized baseball field are still the priority. Is that correct?
According to the assessment. If we were to give up the Wando South baseball field, we would be short a full-size baseball field. If that was to be built at Carolina Park, that would accommodate our needs. Now, it wouldn't be quite as good because now we would have two on the north side of town. It's better to have one on the south side of town, one on the north side of town. We would prefer. But it would fulfill the needs for our adult baseball and high school baseball level play, or 15 to 18, our middle school leagues, the ones that I described on there. What it would do though is it would eliminate the 300 foot field, the 300 to 310 foot field that we would need for our 13 to 14 year old age group, where we only have one field currently at Duffy, and the other field that we use at Whipple will be going away. So it would be, we would lose the ability to meet the need of that age group.
Can you talk about that? There's the Whipple Field, I'm sorry, the one in the tennis center in the back.
Yeah.
That field's important to talk about because a future expansion of the department is to expand the tennis center all the way back there. Will you touch on that?
That's correct. There's the tennis center. We have a booming tennis center. It's a fantastic tennis center and a great program over there, and tremendous use over there. The long-term plans, and these have been long-term plans before I got here. I think plans were probably made in 2010 or 2011 for eventual expansion of the tennis center over there to add an additional 6 courts over there. There is a field back there behind the tennis center, and quite frankly, it's only a practice field. It's not in the best condition. It's just a place to play, to practice, to get your practices in. We do not use it for games. There's inadequate parking. There's no restroom facilities. There's all sorts of reasons why it's not the long-term solution for our baseball over there. So the expansion of the tennis center is very important, and that field is still important. We still need that field for those practices. As much as I downplay the condition of the field and our love for it over there, I'd love to see it go away eventually, but being replaced. Until it's replaced, we really have a hard time getting rid of that field because we can't meet the needs of that age group.
And if you look at our program report, tennis as well as youth and structural football were the only two sports that had increases.
Right.
Everything else has been decreased, so tennis has really picked up. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, and you know what? We've got to remember also, we have another sports facility out there, Denton's Park. Although it's not ours, they have large fields out there as well. So, you're right. All the large fields will be out that part of town if we build that one out there. But anyhow, well, I appreciate all the work y'all have done. Y'all got any more questions for staff on this?
What were the trends in youth baseball for what 2020 would have been if there would have been a season? Was there continued decline?
No, in youth baseball, it's been going very well. Actually, we've had we've had increase over the last few years. It's a strong program.
Okay.
So we would have expected it to be much stronger. Obviously, 2020 as a whole, everything's changed. We're going to have a big gap in all of our numbers. Every time we show a chart from now on, it's going to dip way down for 2020. But youth baseball is going very strong.
Okay. I don't know. I guess I'm just having trouble figuring out what exactly the question is for council. I mean, I get there's like a lot of issues, but I guess there's a lot of issues, but I don't know what we're supposed to.
I think we're no it's and I want Steve to confirm this. It appears based on the analysis done by the recreation that if we ever end up in a situation where we have to vacate Beckham's full-size high school field, that the decision has to be then, because we've talked about many different options, mm-hmm. The decision has to be that the district has to build us another full-size baseball field.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as that is done, we can move forward with our plans at Carolina Park, which is different from what was brought in front of you a month or two ago. With the original plan at Carolina Park for phase 3, which we have funding for, which is the medium-sized baseball field and 2 softball fields.
That's absolutely correct.
And then your tennis center can, once that is done, then that medium-sized field can help take the burden of what's at Whipple Tennis Center, and then that can help to be expanded over time. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct.
So leaving here today, I just want to make sure that you know and you're comfortable with this, that the plan that we will design and get ready for construction, which is funded for Carolina Park Phase 3, is the original back to the original plan of the medium-sized field and the 2 softball fields.
That's what I thought. That was in my head for some reason.
Okay, I guess that's where my confusion is, because at the last rec committee meeting, that was changed to a full-size baseball field. So do we need to...
Well, we're kind of waiting
action to change it back again? I mean, I thought we took action to change it to that design, so it would be that design until further action is taken by us.
I think it's going to be, we're waiting for the school district to be able to tell us what they can do and what they can't do. We're looking at options, and right now, we're looking at options. The good news is, they're very interested in helping us. I mean, they want to come to the table with the money and help us build it. So the good thing is they want to partner with us. We just got to find that piece of land or that area where we can build that field, and so that we can do, as Eric said. Am I right with saying that?
Yes, and so our plan forward, unless committee objects, is to move forward with phase three, as I just mentioned, as originally stated, with a medium size and the two softball fields, which means that all future communications between staff and the district will be that they must replace the full-size high school field with a full-size high school field. Throughout these several months, we've had many different options slicing and dicing away to try to make us whole. And this makes it very clear to us, and it all, as far as our discussions go with the district, and it also makes things crystal clear as a path forward with Carolina Park Phase 3 as a capital project.
Jake?
Okay. A couple things. One, I know when I was looking into the designs of Carolina Park Phase 3, the original design, one of the big issues was that the medium-sized baseball field was literally facing directly into the sun. Mm-hmm. Is that not still an issue?
It still is. It still is.
It seems inefficient to build a field that faces into the sun. I mean, you know, as a baseball player, you can't.
Depends on what side you're on. If you're batting, it's tough. Right. If you're pitching, it's so bad.
It's not just tough, it's dangerous.
It's a rec level field. There's fields all across the country that are built in wheels and pinwheels.
Yeah, I know.
And that field would still accommodate that need. Most of our games are in the evening. You have the tree line that is over there that is nearby. That was discussed. I mean, we were aware of that in the original plan, but we felt it fit here. With the timing of when our games are, where the tree line is, we felt like it would meet the need for that program.
Okay, and then I guess my final point would just be that I agree with this, and I think it's the right course of action. And good contracts make for good partnerships. So if, it needs to be on the school district that even if we enter into some sort of contract that they're allowed to start using that field across from their school this spring, that there just needs to be a drop dead timeline. And I don't think it's on us to find land for that field. That's on them. I mean, they've got a whole capital budget that we don't have. And they, quite frankly, screwed this up, assuming in their designs that they would be able to have that field. And so, I don't know, I think before they're given any sort of time out there, that we need a contract that says by X date, they're going to produce a full-size baseball field.
Yeah.
So.
Good. Anything else, guys? Anything else?
I think we have our course going forward, so thank you.
Thank you. Okay. So item number five is the impact of COVID-19 on the Recreation Department's programs and plans for fall activities.
All right. We wanted to talk about the fall activities. There are no slides on this. Let me go ahead and minimize that down there. Our fall activities are beginning. We had registration actually started yesterday for all of our programs. We are moving forward with all of our programs, quite frankly, in our registration as if COVID did not exist. But we know the reality is that it does exist. And just like we did originally for all of our spring sports, we did all of our registration. And then as the virus and as the conditions changed, we had to adapt to them and make changes. We just wanted to open that up for discussion on how we proceed for the fall. In activities that we have going on, all of our fall sports, our football, softball, basketball, soccer, fall baseball, later on in the fall, later in the fall, we have wrestling. There's volleyball, some indoor sports as well that are going on. Those are sports. And in programs, we have our Mom's Morning Out and our Kids Grow, which are basically such similar to classroom settings for our smaller children. Gymnastics, art classes, painting classes, cheerleading classes, martial arts, all those sort of things that are going on. We have been doing our best to allow, where possible, to, we take the steps, we clean areas, people are wearing face masks, we have the new face mask ordinance that is in place for our programs at this time, with the exceptions that have been identified. And our intention is to continue on with all of these programs into the fall. I wanted to know, as guidance is received, maybe by the state or by different organizations, DHEC provides it to the state, and the state tells us, guidance. Those guidelines are just that. They are guidance. They are not laws. But they are guidance that we take into consideration when we are looking at what we are doing and what we should do with our programs and how we protect our staff and the public. At this time, we do plan on continuing on with all of those programs. But as guidance comes out, I wanted to know, we wanted to present it to you to find out your thoughts on how we should continue, what guidance we should follow, if there's a train of thought we should be following as we make decisions on possible cancellations or curtailments of programs.
Okay. Right. Anything? Jim?
I think I know that what comes out through DHEC and the governor's office are just guidelines and not law, but I think that we should follow those. I think that, especially as numbers are spiking and in this area, I know that kids seem to be a less risky category, but they could potentially be carriers back to vulnerable peoples in their households and in their communities. I think that there's certain sports. The one that jumped out at me, wrestling. You're grappling with each other. If someone's got something, the other person's going to get it. So I think just monitoring closely where our cases are, and I think that if we have a case in an identified case within a program, shutting down that particular team for a period of time might be necessary to prevent further exposure across the board. I know that you've already dealt with some COVID in the rec department. What has been your procedure thus far?
We have, and I'm glad you brought that up. We've dealt with it significantly in the recreation department. There have been numerous employees who have tested positive, and each time an employee tests positive, as you're aware, there's interviews that are done, and everybody that is in close contact with them ends up getting put on a two-week quarantine, which has caused a significant shortage in staffing and trying to keep things going when you're trying to run an operation. We've also had some people with counselors or with children that were involved in camps that ended up testing positive, and then we had to quarantine campers, and we had to quarantine people in our tennis program. We had to quarantine multiple people. I mean, we probably have over 100 people between staff and participants that have been quarantined through this process so far. So we do follow the guidelines every time we find out what's going on. We follow an interview process and clean facilities, and it is very difficult that one coach shows. I'm not saying anybody in particular. I'm saying as an example, a coach shows up to a practice. We're participating with the kids, and later on tells us, "Hey, I started feeling symptomatic and I got a positive test." And that team could be wiped out immediately. That team's gone. That impacts the whole schedule and the rest of the league and everybody else that's involved in that. So it is quite difficult. It's quite challenging to operate not knowing day by day when you get the phone call of, "Oh, by the way, I had a positive test." I think we've gone. I think I'm knock on wood here. I haven't gotten a call since last Thursday, so.
Don't jinx yourself. Right. Off the ball. Don't do that.
Well, I want to thank you and your staff so much for creating these opportunities for young people. I've got four kids. I know Councilman Rambo's got young kids, and this quarantine time frame where they're just stuck at home for so long has been very difficult, and I am always amazed at the creativity of your department in ensuring a safe and healthy experience for these children.
Thank you.
So thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's why we're the number one recreation department in the state.
I know.
Jake?
All right, so I see where Ms. Whitley's coming from, but I do disagree a little bit. I mean, so, where do you draw the line, right? I mean, if you start saying, well, wrestling, they're grappling with each other, well, what is football? You know, it's tackle football. I mean, you don't get any closer. Yes, yes, it's outdoors, but, you know, you don't get any more close contact than that. And so I know it makes it hard for you guys, and I know summer basketball was canceled. But at the same time, you know, the week after that decision, you know, which, again, I'd signed my child up, but he was in a Wando basketball camp with like 100 people in one gym. And so it's like, well, wait a second, why is one thing canceled because of COVID, but the next thing isn't? And where do you draw that line? And to me, that line is drawn with the governor. I mean, and right now, as of the governor's latest ruling, which he did back in late May, that youth and amateur sports are allowed. There's no restrictions on which sports or whether they're indoor or outdoor. And so to me, unless that guidance changes, then we offer our full slate of programs. And if somebody's uncomfortable with that, then don't sign your child up. But there are a lot of kids who need this. I was talking with a pediatrician the other day, and she was talking about just how many cases of that she's seen of children coming in with depression and issues at such a higher rate than she's seen in her career, and they need these outlets. And so, you know, that would be my guidance, is unless the governor changes what he says, then we're going to offer our programs. And I get where we're coming from, as if there's a case on a team, then yes, that team gets shut down for whatever the guidance is. I mean, that's just kind of life in the business world right now. I mean, you're open, and then somebody gets a case, and then everybody's in close contact. I mean, it's the same thing, and I think that's just kind of the world moving forward. But I feel strongly that unless the governor rescinds those orders, that we offer all of our programs.
You know, I kind of agree with both of them. I think they both have some good ideas and good comments. And Steve, I think y'all have done a great job of keeping your eye on the ball, no pun intended. But I think y'all have, and you've been very careful, and you've been able to do the right things to make the right decisions. So I'm just in favor of continuing on as we're doing now. And any changes you see, any issues you see, just keep us aware of it. If we have to make changes, we can. If not, then we'll just proceed as we're doing it right now. But like I said, always keeping our eye on the ball to make sure that we do the proper things and that y'all are already doing. So, I mean, that's the way I feel.
Yeah, I think what we'll do is move forward and put this on a piece of paper, what our policy will be as we enter the fall with our programs and athletics. And that way, and we'll send it out to you if you have some concerns about it. But it'll be led by, we'll follow the governor's orders, and then we'll get into what our approach will be to sanitizing and distancing and all those kind of things too. And we'll put it together. We'll take a crack at it.
I think the wishy-washy area of it is there's the governor's orders, and then there's guidance. And the two are separate. The two are two different things. Orders are orders that we must follow, and the other ones are guidance that we receive, that are suggestions. And you know, we look at both. I mean, clearly we follow the orders. There's no question about that. We don't disobey with orders. The suggestions that we have, the guidance that we have, we see what can apply and what we feel like we can do safely. And we will, like Eric said, we can put that down and let you know what our plan is forward on that. I did also want to mention that there are special events as well. I kind of was focusing on athletics and our programs, but we do have our special events that are coming up. There is the Sweetgrass Festival that's coming up, that a decision has not been made yet on that. I will tell you that we are hearing from several of the Sweetgrass basket makers that they do not want to participate in it, in the activity. That's, you know, a fairly large festival that's at Waterfront Park. There's the movie nights that we hold on Friday nights in Waterfront Park. That's usually every Friday in August, that we can consider. There may be able to be, maybe it will be spaced out. There's also Party in the Park that was supposed to be in June and got moved to September, thinking, we should be okay by September. Well, who knows? We really don't know at this point.
Children's Day. Right. Okay, Jim.
One thing for the movies at the park, my children just participated in an outdoor musical theater program where it was adorable. They had, for the little ones, they had hula hoops set on stage 6 feet apart, and the kids each performed from inside their hula hoop with their props behind them. So they were, because they were the little ones, and so
right.
they couldn't really do blocking on stage and stay socially distanced. But what they did for the audience is they had stakes in the ground set, you know, probably like 8 to 10 feet apart, so that each family group would be around a stake.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we watched the show. So it's possible that we could move forward with the movie nights with something
so
like
too.
That, where there's,
yeah.
where there's enforced social, you know, there would have to be staff there to make sure people are following it. But like, you stake out your stake, and that's where you set up.
Right.
And you can watch the show from a distance, you know. And we went to the beach the other day, and everyone was kind of, it was late in the afternoon, there weren't that many people there, but everyone was very, very aware of social distancing, and groups were very far apart. But I could see something with like where everyone's coming at a specific time, where there's a lot more people coming, having those stakes in the ground to give people a guideline of where to be, I think would be very helpful.
I think so too.
Jake?
I think we can handle it.
Again, I mean, with events, I think we should follow the governor's guidelines. And I don't know, while it's very clear that youth and amateur sports are allowed, he made a very clear distinction that things like spectator sports were not allowed that draw large crowds. So it almost seems like an event would be more in that realm. It's kind of a weird, right. awkward situation. And then as far as the guidelines that you were talking about, I mean, I think it's important to remember that the guidelines were coming out as phases were being reopened. So there is still a document out there that says no volleyball, no basketball in a gym. Well, that came out at the end of April when they were reopening like things like Planet Fitness and commercial gyms, and they didn't want basketball and volleyball at that time. But then a month later, the governor said, no, all youth and amateur sports are allowed. And of course, that document hasn't been updated at all. And so I think it just gets confusing when you have all of these different guidelines, and you can look at CDC guidelines and all of this stuff. But at the end of the day, we just need to follow the governor's orders, and I would think that should apply to sports and events.
All right, thank you very much. Anything else, guys? Anything else from staff?
We'll be keeping you abreast of some of these larger events. I mean, I know it's not till October, but Children's Day is a 10,000 person event. I mean,
with those water slides and the kids crowded
that.
In line.
in today's world, though, I can't imagine that event moving forward with those numbers.
That's terrible. I mean, I love that event as well, but I think you're right. Anyway.
Same with the sweet grass basket.
Jake?
Well, and I would say that gives us an opportunity from a staffing level, too. If you don't have some of these large events, some of these large event coordinators have the ability to fill in other places as people are, you know, undoubtedly exposed or quarantined or whatever, just gives us some flexibility.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So
that's why we have a parade too, right? We want to have a parade.
Yes. We can social distance in the parade.
Right.
I mean, coronavirus is not going anywhere.
Right.
Anytime soon.
Right.
And so there's just something that we have to deal with.
I read in the paper today, there's another one that's on the horizon. I don't know if anybody saw it in the paper this morning, but apparently there's another one that looks like it's on the horizon over there. So that doesn't look like we're going to let it get, you know, any break anytime soon. Mm. All right. So let's go ahead and move on to item number 6, the review and possible action with regard to conceptual plans for our first responders memorial at Waterfront Park. As y'all remember, we've already voted for doing this a couple of meetings ago, so now we have a rendering, and I hope y'all had a chance to take a look at it. Go ahead, Jeff.
Just one off. Here we go. Thank you. Good morning. Jeff is a stand-in for the staff that worked on developing a few concepts for you to take a look at. So we had landscape architect, engineer, architect staff lay out some ideas for the way that this monument might be designed. And so it's set up to acknowledge and recognize the first responders in terms of fire rescue, police, and public services. And Vanna, if you go to the next slide, please. Located at Waterfront Memorial Park and in generally in the area that's shaded in yellow, and you see an aerial view looking down on the existing terrain in this location. And the concept that all of these build around is a bell in terms of, you know, calling out, ringing out an alarm. And it could be used for a variety of other things and occasions, and might even be something that we could develop as a type of an award that distinguished first responders would receive if that were the symbol that were utilized. And so we have a couple of different options. Option one is known as the circle. And so you see the layout here with the bell, and the support structure for the bell in this particular one is based on Ravenel Bridge, so the design of the towers of the bridge. And keep going, Steve. So we staff put it in motion, so you start to see how it would lay out. There are options and alternatives for where this could be placed and how you might treat, say, the exterior. So does it sit in the lawn, as in this sketch, or might it be have additional sidewalk or other areas around it? And so one of the locations for the circle would be what's known as the center, and then adjacent to the walkway is location B. So we have some options or alternatives for not only the design but the placement of a monument.
Jeff, a quick question. You do have a place on there where you can put the name of our, God forbid we have any issues with first responders, but we already have one. But I just wanted to make sure, because I didn't see anything that kind of said anything about
it. At this point, we didn't get to that level, but
okay.
Any kinds of elements like that could be included or incorporated, whether depending on the, you know, the ground, the surface, of the ground surface, or a plaque or other acknowledgments that you might be able to do.
Okay.
So you've got different options for the circle, and it builds off the layout that's already out there with several circles adjacent to one another.
So again, 1 second, Jeff. Jim?
Okay. In the back one, is that the option B circle, the sort of paler colored one, is that going to require the removal of, is that a nice tree?
There are trees and landscape that we would
have to remove,
need to look at.
Because I think putting it in the middle of the lawn probably, I don't like cutting down trees if we don't have to.
So that might steer and guide us to all look at all any option or alternative to just be in the lawn area. And then three points of entry, again, to symbolize the three groups of first responders and sort of the icon of the bridge structure in terms of sort of supportive and strong in responding to emergencies. So that's that one.
And Jeff, 1 second. I'm sorry, I was remiss. I should have pointed out that we do have Chief Mixon and Jody Peel here in the audience, and Chief Ritchie was not able to attend. He had something else, but he told me which one he preferred, but we'll finish that at the end. But I just wanted to recognize them, that they are here.
Yes, and our staff, as they were looking at this, communicated with some of our first responders to get a feel from them, some input as well. So that's option one, again, with and without a sidewalk. There's location B, Ms. Whitley, that's the one that would pull it closer to the walkway, but it would kind of build off, you know, existing access. But A puts it out in the lawn area. And then materials that could be used include, you know, brick, capstone, bluestone as a cap on those knee wall bench seats, and a variety of other materials, lawn, concrete, and obviously metal, steel for the structure itself. Option two builds again off three and utilizes, instead of a circle, introduces the triangle. So you sort of have the three sides of a triangle here, with the bell suspended in the sort of in that middle portion of it. And And these, again, could be kind of in the corner, located in a walkway corner, with option C and D, and then kind of looking in the opposite directions. So I can't tell tree-wise, landscape-wise. It may not be a significant landscaping right there in the corner. So if you went with the triangular and it fits in that corner at the triangle of the walkway, then that we could build off that existing location. And so you see it in plan view, upper left, looking one way, and lower left, looking towards the walk.
Jeff, one second, please. Jim?
Just in looking at this, for me personally, I like the round one better. I think that it fits better with what's already there in the park, because it seems like there's more in the walkways, there's little circular areas. So I feel like I think it looks better, and you can come at it from, and it looks the same from whatever angle you approach it. I prefer the round one.
Well, you know, I was going to wait to the end, but since you brought it up, I've spoke to all three, the two chiefs and Jody, and all three of them prefer the circular.
Circular as well.
Yeah. But I was going to wait, since you already brought it up, I just save us some time. Jake?
I'm just going to say, I know where my strengths and weaknesses are, it all looks great to me. Y'all can decide. I'll check out.
Yeah, he can't tell you what color to paint walls, so he's...
They're all beautiful.
You didn't ask for my design skills either. So that's why we rely on other staff to be able to put this together.
So it sounds like that we've agreed that the circular one, I think that's option one,
yes,
is the one we like the most.
And then the other was still circular,
that's
but
cool
then
too.
The support structure being more of a curve holding up the bell, kind of a different, and then the surface treatment would signify the three groups of first responders instead.
Yeah, I kind of like the bridge, the reference to the bridge. I thought that was kind of cool.
You go with your first option, right? Go with your gut.
First option.
So do we have a motion, guys?
Do we need one?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Are we recommending this to full council?
Well,
yeah. But you tell me, Eric, that we don't have to have one?
Yeah, I would... before you do that, let's go back with option one and start pulling together more information.
Okay.
We're going to need to get, before council can consider it.
Pricing.
And yeah, we got to get what it's going to entail to do this, how much it's going to cost, and then
okay,
we can bring it back to you and then move it on to council if you're comfortable.
And we can get more info on scale and size. I think that bell was, Eddie was involved.
Four,
three. I think it was about a 2 foot diameter at the base, and then I think it was roughly 3 feet tall.
Three and a half feet tall on the bell. So depending on scale or size and or cost, we were joking, if you want a bell with a crack in it, you have to pay extra.
Jim?
And this is just a concept, right? It's currently not funded in our budget.
Correct.
And given the COVID situation and the uncertainty in our finances in the future, I think this is great. I think we got to put this in the plans, but I'm be concerned a little bit about where the funding's going to come from. But I do think that our community would love to support this. And I don't know if with these bricks on these benches, if you want to sell a brick for $20 and you can honor the service member or public services member or police officer that you want to honor, it could be names of, you know, there could be a way to get some private money to kind of help us get to the finish line in getting this done sooner rather than later.
Well, we've done that with the memorial to our military. They sold bricks that are in the ground. They're not on the side, but they're in the ground. But I think, you know, if you don't need a vote from us, then y'all kind of know which way we want to go with it, all right? So you don't need us to vote on this?
I'm good. And
okay.
I can comment for a moment on the process forward with this is we have a funding source, and that is the funding source attached to this park. In 8 weeks, 6 weeks or so, we plan to request another meeting with council to review the capital plan going forward based on numbers that we know that are shaping up. And what to do at Waterfront Park, since the extension to the pier was much higher than we anticipated, you'll have some decisions to make as to what else to do out there at the park. This can be incorporated into the next phases out there, whatever you deem it to be.
Good. Jake?
Yeah, that was going to be my question. Is obviously we could use that. All of this would qualify for TIF money because it's part of the Memorial Waterfront Park project. And this is just me, but as we move forward with those figuring out what to do with those funds. There was a gentleman who presented to Rec Committee, and then I think he even came to a full council meeting with some really cool ideas with some things that we could do at Waterfront Park, some like kinesthetic areas, and I don't know. I think that we should examine all of those options before, you know, spending all of our money on a restaurant or something like that.
That was Nick Chris. Yeah, stays in contact with me constantly.
He did a great job. There was some cool looking stuff.
But. Yeah, and it's simple things too. It's not anything that would be outrageous, but it's pretty simple if you look at some of the designs he has. So absolutely.
So the timing will work out perfectly then, because we'll have the information on potential cost here.
Good.
Right about the time when the council will be taking up what to do at the park moving forward. And then once you decide on the elements to be included at the park, we'll wrap them all together and finish design and send it out for bid and construct it. Mm-hmm. All of it at one time. At least it would be the idea.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Anything else from the committee? Mm-mm. Staff, anything else?
Just a comment for Jeff and his team. I saw Eddie here. To be able to do this kind of work in-house speaks to the talent in the planning department. So thank
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Great deal. I mean, I agree 100%. Give a kudos to the team that put all this together. Thank you. Steve, you want to go over the program updates real quick? We got a few minutes left.
Yeah, I'll just be real quick on that. As you know, as I mentioned before, our athletics for the spring have really, really dropped off. I mean, much, much smaller participation.
Except for tennis.
Well, and we have our instructional football program, which is not an actual league or sport or anything like that. It's an instructional program, but it is very popular. But we do have our youth t-ball and coach pitch and our track going on right now. Both of those programs are still strong programs, and adult softball. Tennis membership, as you mentioned, it has held steady and actually bumped up a little bit from last year. You will notice a significant difference in our rental revenue. And by the way, these numbers, again, I want to remind you when I present these numbers, the July numbers are actually the July committee numbers are actually what we had through May. Because there are always 1 month lag on all of these numbers because we didn't have them finished at the end of June in time for submission on this. So they're always 1 month lag. So these numbers are through May, and as you can imagine, with March, April, and May, it wasn't a lot of income that was coming in any of our rentals. But they are picking back up again, and we would expect that to resume. We are renting our facilities as we had before. So swim lessons obviously fell off the face of the earth. We didn't have a swim program in May, and our senior center, we did open a couple weeks ago. Open up. We have a lot of restrictions and a lot of things in place, masks and procedures, and taking away a few of the coffee and donuts and some of the areas that we had in there. People did come. They did return. There seemed to be a larger interest right at the very beginning, and then it has kind of weaned off a little bit. So we are evaluating that, seeing how many people are coming in. Maybe proposing a modification of hours for a period of time, while the numbers are so low. Special events, the farmers market continues to do well. This week we will go into our normal farmers market operation starting tomorrow, opening at 3:30 in the afternoon, moving back into the normal operation with entertainment, with the food vendors and everything else that we've had in the past. But the participation has been very good. People have come out. They I think even through everything that we did there with all the restrictions and wait in line and wearing a mask and enter in and only two at a time and everything else that we did, it was very well received. And I think the farmers also very, very much appreciate being able to come out and sell their product. It's very important to them in supporting our local farmers. As I mentioned, we do have the planning right now. We are taking a look at what we're going to do with the Sweetgrass Festival and Movies in the Park being the next two things coming up in the special events area. And then as well, Party in the Park, our sponsored event over at Waterfront Park. That is, that's a pretty large event. So that's one we're going to have to look at really, really closely. So,
I did the opening last year of the Sweetgrass Basket, and I noticed there was a lot of open space there. I'm just wondering if we can't distance, you know, then, I mean, take a good look at it. It's such an important festival. If we can't somehow maybe distance them, because there was a lot of open space that was not being used. I noticed that when I was there. Now, I don't know about later on in the day, but in the morning time when we did the opening, grand opening, this looked like there could have been a lot more out there. So before we say absolutely not, let's take a look at it and see if we can just, so, you know, do the social distancing and all and spread those booths apart. Because I think it's really an important event that we have here, and I really would hate to, you know, not have it if we can do something to make it happen.
All right.
Good. Okay, anything? Yep. Jake?
I just echo what GM said. Again, thank you to staff for working so hard. I know my kids are very grateful and we are even more grateful for them to be at camps and out my house. And so, you know, we appreciate all the hard work in getting that going. And I know sports and everything moving forward are going to be interesting not able to be as well planned out as they usually are, and we'll have to respond to things that happen, but we appreciate, like GM said, as someone with young kids, I appreciate the opportunity for them to get out of the house and get moving and exercising and being with their friends and their teammates. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, guys. All right. Without any ado, we are adjourned.
Thank you.
Ahead of schedule.